Hi, I'm Roy Spencer of PermaSeal. For over 45 years, we've helped over 500,000 homeowners make their homes drier, healthier, and more valuable. Our warranties are transferable and estimates are free. Call 800-421-SEAL or visit permaseal.net.
Anthony Michael Hall is one of the funniest, most authentic, real, and likable comedic actors. National Lampoon's Vacation, The Breakfast Club, Weird Science, Johnny Be Good. But for Anthony, this Brad Packer didn't stop there. Edward Scissorhands, Six Degrees of Separation, The Dark Knight, Halloween Kills. And Anthony recently starred in Netflix's action thriller Trigger Warning alongside Jessica Alba. On TV, he was a regular on SNL, lead in USA's The Dead Zone, memorable roles in Pirates of Silicon Valley, The Goldbergs, The Blacklist, and the upcoming third season of Reacher. And Reacher, by the way, is the number one most watched title on the Amazon Prime across TV and film. One of Anthony's first was 16 Candles, a movie that Anthony will be celebrating in Chicagoland on Saturday, September 28th at the Art Theater in Hobart, Indiana, with a screening and Q&A with the audience. He's an actor, director, producer. He's Anthony Michael Hall. Anthony, glad we get to talk again.
Thank you so much. Thank you for that that introduction. Very kind of you.
Absolutely. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. You know, 16 Candles is celebrating its 40th anniversary this year. So I have two things to say. How cool is that? And boy, are we old, Anthony.
No kidding. You know, it's so funny. It reminds me of that joke. What's the old George Burns joke? And he'd hit the stage in his 90s and then go, it's good to be here. It's good to be anywhere at my age. You know,
it's very true.
Here I am at 56. And, you know, it is amazing to have films that are over 40 years old. I think Vacation just passed that threshold too, a year or two ago. And, you know, I just feel very blessed. It's been such an incredible and fun and active career all these decades. You know, it's been 48 years I've been an actor. So I'm just grateful for the run.
It has, but you're not one of those guys that, you know, did that 40 years ago and that's what you're living with. Like, you have kept really, and you know what I'm talking about, and you have lived it all and have just kind of, I don't want to say reinvent yourself, but you have just kept going on. And I'm really excited about this Reacher's third season too. I mean, you just,
you
can do the comedy, you can do the drama, you can do the intense thriller. It's a real talent.
Thank you.
You know?
I appreciate that. You know, it's one of the things that time taught me in my career. You know, I always wanted to be an actor, you know, when I was a little boy. Then when it started to happen for me, I just made a commitment to myself that I would keep going, you know. And then over the decades and years that have gone by, thank God, I've worked with a lot of great people. And, you know, you're always working in teams, and it's a great industry to be a part of. But yeah, I've tried to mix it up and play different parts, and I enjoy that, and that keeps it interesting for me too, you know. And I think over time, it's funny, you can look back and all of a sudden, you know, there's a, you know, a bunch of work behind you, and I'm grateful for it. You know, it's a great experience, all of it.
That's very cool. You know, we're about exactly the same age, so when I was watching you were pretty much playing your age, which is always, it's not always the case in Hollywood. It's not
kind of rare, right? Yeah.
But you.
Well, I joke with Judd and Amelia. You know, when we did The Breakfast Club, I think they were both 30 years old at that point. No, they were in their early 20s. But, you know, I was. It was a rare thing, as you said, Dave. Like, I was playing the age I was. But you know what? I always tip my hat to John Hughes. This is really what inspired the tour for me, is, you know, getting the movies back in the theaters. You know, these are films that people love and have grown up watching, and they continue to find younger generations, which is really an honor. But it's all a testament to John Hughes. You know, he was really a brilliant guy, a great writer, a great director. And he was a great friend to all of us. You know, he really empowered us to take chances and to have fun on set. And it wasn't just like a boss, you know, cast relationship. He was really a friend, and he was a collaborator and just a wonderful guy, you know, a lot of fun to be around. He loved music. He loved making people laugh, you know, and you felt when you worked with him that it was always a collaboration. We were always working on the role and the scenes together. It was never like, go out there and, you know, perform for me. You know, it was more like a collaboration, which was great.
I'm glad you mentioned John, because, you know, big Chicago guy. He signed this three-picture deal with Universal in 82, and 16 right. Candles was first up. It took a while to get it done, but how did you get the part? Like, I know you went to Manhattan's Professional Children's School, you know, you did some commercials, but how did this part come along?
You know what? It had to do with Vacation, because, you know, again, I love that old saying, you know, standing on the shoulders of giants, which we all have. We've all had a leg up and had mentors and teachers and people that helped us along. In my life, it was certainly John Hughes. And before that, David, was Matty Simmons and Harold Ramis. And Harold was a great Chicago guy, too. Another legend, another great writer, director, performer. So I did Vacation. And what's interesting, it came from a short story that John Hughes had written for National Lampoon magazine, called Vacation 58. You probably remember that. Yeah. And then from there, you know, he started sending stories into the Lampoon, and they started publishing them. And then he wrote Mr. Mom with Michael Keaton, another really great film. And he was off to the races from there. But I didn't meet him until I auditioned for 16 Candles, even though he had written Vacation. You know, I never actually met him on the set of that movie. Yeah.
Yeah, because he was a screenwriter. Right. He wasn't producing. He wasn't doing that type of thing. Right. It was
early days. Well, if you think back to, like, She's Having a Baby, that was another fun film of his. It was Kevin Bacon, Elizabeth McGovern. And they were essentially playing John and Nancy Hughes, you know. So John was a guy from Chicago. He was a guy from the heartland there, and you know, he loved what he did, but he was a copywriter. He worked for an ad agency writing copy and commercials. So in that film, it kind of places all of that, you know, and that's really where it all began. And then from there, he was, I guess, just sending in stories to Lampoon, and he started getting published as a comedy writer and a humorist, you know. And then his screenwriting career kind of took off from there.
Well, you know, I knew one of your first commercials, just going back a little further, was for Honeycomb. You did this film for CBS about Huck Finn. The Gold Bug was before that. And you were brought some bigger attention when you did Six Pack, which was with Kenny Rogers and Diane Lane. But, like, when did you yourself, like, know as a kid, Anthony, like, this is what you wanted to do? Like, you found some really some joy, some happiness in doing this stuff.
You know what? I think it started in the home for me. It's like that old Eddie Murphy movie, Raw. Remember where there's that gimmick, you know, at the beginning where there's a kid playing Eddie and he's performing for his relatives. I was that type of kid, you know. I was like doing shows for my relatives after weddings or funerals, or, you know.
Yeah.
And they get up there and imitate your uncle or your aunt or whoever, you know. Yeah. And I would imitate my relatives. So that's how it started for me. And then when I was a little boy, 1976, I'm 56 now, so I was 8 years old, yeah. I did a play with Steve Allen, the late, great Steve Allen, and he created The Tonight Show, and it was a writer, and as you know, a songwriter, did so many things in his life. So that's actually where it began for me professionally. When I was 8 years old, I did a play with Steve, and that was like a summer stock kind of production, you know. And then from there, you know what, it was always kind of a hobby. I did commercials, and I would audition for things as a little kid from that age all the way up to my teens. And then I just kept at it. I guess I just had a work ethic and a desire to, you know, to make something of myself. Even as a kid, I was just kind of doing this after school, and then it led to different opportunities. By the time I was in my teens, I got Vacation, and that led to John Hughes, which was incredible.
Yeah, so you talk about John and 16 Candles, and that he was a screenwriter at the time for Vacation, and remembered you obviously from the role. How did Vacation come about for you?
Well, that was just an audition. I remember going to Midtown Manhattan to meet the late, great Matty Simmons and Harold Ramis, two of my mentors that I loved. And I went into the Warner Brothers building somewhere in the Midtown area near Rockefeller Center and Radio City. And I remember just going up into, you know, their offices and waiting and then going in, you know. And, you know, auditioning for me was as a kid, as I said, it was like a hobby. It was just something I did after school. It was like a, you know, a sport to me in a way. So I remember going into the audition, and the two of them were there, and they were just really kind, really fun. And they, thank God, saw something me, even as a kid, I guess, that I was, you know, there was a certain looseness or fun that I had playing comedy. So, but, you know, when I think back on my life, I mean, I always loved comics. You know, my heroes as a kid in the 70s were George Carlin, Richard Pryor. Like, I loved their albums. I would sit there and listen to them like people would listen to music, you know. So that, I think, inspired me. And then also watching SNL as a kid in the 70s.
Sure.
That was really big for me, too. Loved all that, you know.
Yeah, we were young for that, too. When SNL premiered, we were kids.
I think the last time we were young. Now that we're in our 50s, all of a sudden you're like, wait a minute. Life creeped up on me. What the hell?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Well, what I find fascinating about all this, you know, the 80s had been full of teen movies prior to 16 Candles. Like, the marked difference between many of those films and the work of John, as you mentioned, were these over-the-top sex comedies. So it was like Private Lessons, Porky's, And films were stretching from where there wasn't a lot of character development, like, you know, Fast Times at Ridgemont High or The Last American Virgin. It was a little more cynical. But John's films were honest about the fact that the teenagers could totally suck. And he would thread that needle between comedy and drama. And it really related to a generation growing up at that same time.
That's a great explanation of it. I really think you're right on with that. You know, and I think what's interesting is he used humor. I think there's also a paradigm. I've been able to sit back and look at, you know, the work that he did, and it's amazing. He was still a young guy. He was only in his mid-30s, you know, doing all this and having this great output. But I think that there's a paradigm. In other words, everybody kind of winds up a little better off than they started out, you know? And certainly there's been some discussion, and I know Molly wrote a piece some years back about, you know, some aspects of the humor doesn't age well, and we certainly was never in the spirit to offend anybody, you know? But just the opposite, that John would use humor and he would kind of cast us all, and you know, everybody was trying to figure themselves out. But I think he was breaking ground in that time, because formerly teens were, you know, it was something that was kind of looked down upon, you know, like the kids in the movie were just that, you know, they were like appendages to whatever the adults were doing, you know.
Yeah.
But I think in the 80s, he really broke ground, and he kind of humanized that experience for what, you know, and what it is for all of us, where you're really taking your first steps into adulthood and figuring out who you are, what you want, and where you fit in, and all of that stuff. So he was incredibly gifted, you know, to be able to articulate that for film, you know, for film goers and for us too, as actors, you know, being able to write these great scripts that were always funny, and there was always great stuff for all of us. But the other great thing he did was he really empowered us to take chances and improvise and have fun with what we were doing too. So that was another great talent of his, I feel.
I know you mentioned, and I'm glad you did, that there are people out there that want to point out what might not be politically correct today from films in the past. And you could probably say that honestly about every film ever made. And, right. You know, to me, you have to have that perspective and realize the time it was made, and watch it and enjoy it for that time period, right?
I agree. And you can't erase history. Look, we're all human. This is all an experiment. All of us, none of us are God. We're all just down here doing our best. But absolutely, I think that, you know, certain films, there's certain things that might be like, you know, a little cringeworthy for younger audiences. But again, in the spirit of things, like it was always well-intended. You know, it was always that everybody was an underdog in John's films, and everybody was trying to figure it out and find love and find themselves in the process. And he did that beautifully. You know, here I sit, you know, like we're joking about, we're in our 50s now, but it's like, I think back, I was a teenager working with this guy, and this gentleman had the foresight and the God-given talent to kind of craft these scripts with all these different characters. And like we're saying, basically giving a voice to youth, you know, that had not been there before. I think.
Yeah. I've got a couple of teenagers. I've got a son in his 20s. My girlfriend's a little bit younger than me. And when they see some of these movies with me, they're like, wow. And I'm like, yeah, it's just about, it's just about the time. And you can't take it offensively. It's just, it was what it was. In fact, this film, 16 Candles, was rated R. And John really pleaded and lobbied for the PG rating, and he got it. And I think people just automatically wanted to put teen comedies that had a little whiff of sexuality into the R category, but yeah. It was really a movie for everybody. I mean, it really is.
You're right. And you drew a great distinction earlier between some of the other films of that time. And look, I mean, I was a horny little crazy kid. You know, I love some of those goofier films like Porgy's and this and that. But again, you know, there's not much meat on the bone there, you know? So I think what John did is he really created films that had characters, and they were real, and they were kids expressing themselves, you know? And, I think he laid the groundwork for some other great filmmakers, guys like Judd Apatow and other people, you know, in the future after him, that really got it. And the other thing he did was he used music so beautifully and powerfully. You know, he really did it. He had his finger on the pulse of music at that time. And, you know, when I remember going to his house as a kid, David, I'd see, you know, his writing room, it looked like a record store. It looked like one of those classic record stores in Chicago. You'd see like floor to ceiling, 12-inch records, and a little desktop by the window in the corner. So what he would do is he would write in all those music cues into the scripts. And so when he took off, and you mentioned the deal he had with Universal, they also gave him a label deal because he had such a finger on the pulse for music and integrating it into his films. And then it became part of his style that he used music so well to uplift certain, you know, scenes and the audiences. And he was really great at that. He had a real gift for that as well, which I think I think that's something that people acknowledge about his work, too.
Well, it was the MTV era, too. And you think about, I can't think about many movies in the last 10 years, 15 years that I can associate a song to. And you hear the music started playing, and you don't even associate it with the artist. You associate it with the movie, especially in John's films. Yeah.
What an interesting statement. You're so right. And how music does that for us. It conjures memory. It conjures where we were, or like you're saying, a film itself. I think that's great. Yeah. It shows you the power of it when they're married, you know, together, the music and the image, you know, it's incredible. Yeah.
We'll talk more with Anthony Michael Hall. He'll be appearing on Saturday, September 28th at the Art Theater in Hobart, Indiana, with a screening of 16 Candles with a Q&A with the audience. For tickets, visit brickartlive.com. And there's more with Anthony next on 720 WGN. All right, Dave Plyer, 720 WGN, along with my pal Anthony Michael Hall. Anthony will be appearing on Saturday, September 28th at the Art Theater in Hobart, Indiana, with the screening of 16 Candles, a Q&A. And for tickets, you can visit brickartlive.com. You know, you mentioned Vacation just turned 40. 16 Candles this year is 40. Almost 40 years now since The Breakfast Club was released.
Right?
Yeah. I mean, it's just hit after hit after hit. Yeah. Do you embrace, I have to ask this, because I've seen the documentary by Andrew McCarthy on the Brat Pack and so forth. Do you embrace that word Brat Pack as a member? Because you certainly are.
Yeah. Yeah, let me. I'd love setting the record on this. So here's the thing: like it was a divisive kind of ploy by a kind of embittered writer. Unfortunately, there are those in the world, and I think it was kind of a setup to make everybody look bad. I wasn't actually included in that article, and honestly, it never really meant anything to me. It was kind of like water off my back. I didn't really care.
Mm-hmm.
I've always thought the Rat Pack was very cool, but the Brat Pack thing never really bothered me. I hadn't seen the film, and then I finally saw it on a flight with my wife. We were traveling back from. I was shooting in Europe on a project. And, you know, I enjoyed it. I mean, I think ultimately it was more therapy for Andrew than anybody.
It really was. Yeah.
But you know what? He's a nice guy, you know, and I think time has taught me, as you know, that when you get to our age, like you got to wish everybody success. You got to, you know, wish everybody well on their path. And he's carved out a nice career for himself. He directs television. He wrote that book and he's written other things. I guess he's a travel writer. And I've talked to him. You know, he's a nice guy. So I just chose not to be a part of it because I'm always making new stuff and building my production company and doing other things. But I did enjoy it. I thought it was pretty funny. And it was interesting how some of the other actors became therapists to him, like Demi Moore and Rob Lowe.
Yes, very much.
They were like, dude, move on. Time to move on.
It's very true. So true.
But everybody, look, we're all human, right? It's a human experience. Yeah.
I think when the one thing I do remember is when John Hughes passed, you and Molly Ringwald and Ally Sheedy were at the Oscars paying tribute. And it's rare. I mean, yeah, right. Just like you said, you move on in life. People who aren't actors move on in careers and stuff. So it's a little mini reunion. And then I hate to say it, but then you get back to life and moving forward. That's what you do.
Yeah. I mean, and I can look at it like in my own life, just with my career. I mean, I've been working. This is my 48th year. I told you I started when I was 8 years old. So you know what? It doesn't stop me. Like I wasn't ever trying to represent one decade or be an 80s actor or any of that other stuff. But the truth is these films are beloved and it's because of John Hughes that we're all here and that most of us have a career. And it's important for me to stop and acknowledge that and just go, you know what? This guy was the best. He was a great friend to me. He was like a big brother. I loved him. And he gave us all these opportunities that were incredible, which laid the groundwork for us to all have careers. So I'm just nothing but flooded with gratitude and love. I miss John. You know, I miss his wife, too. They were great. They were like family to me, you know, and just a great, great experience to have worked with him and started my career working with him. And by the way, I do kind of, you know, in my mind, I mentioned Matty Simmons and Harold Ramis, the three of them really gave me my career as a boy, as a kid. You know, I was just a little kid and they saw something in me, some kind of shine or some talent. And I'm grateful to God for them.
You're also a new dad, Michael Anthony, which is your given name. How's fatherhood treating you?
Oh, man, I'm loving it. As you know, better than I. I mean, it's incredible. It's a life changer. I used to joke, like when I did The View earlier this summer, I made a crack about, you know, in the year, meaning 2023, when De Niro and Pacino had kids, I feel young again.
I think Tony Randall was in his 80s or 90s, so I think we're fine.
You know what I'm saying? No, listen, I intend, God willing, to be around hopefully as long as I can, to my 90s, 100, God willing, you never know.
I love
my son, you know, and it's just been a life changer, as you know. It just gives you fresh eyes on life, and it's the most beautiful thing, you know. So becoming a husband, becoming a dad, really great, you know, gives so much meaning to life. And now I get it, you know.
Love hearing that. Congratulations to you on that.
Thank
for sure.
You.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, Anthony will be appearing again on Saturday, September 28th at the Art Theater in Hobart, Indiana, with a screening of 16 Candles and a Q&A. For tickets, visit brickartlive.com. Always a pleasure talking to you, Anthony. And let's talk again when that third season of Reacher is ready to be released. Let's get on the horn and talk.
Sounds good. I would love to do that again. And thanks again for the time.
Great talk. Thank you, my friend.
All right.
Always.
You too.